From the Word of God, the book of Acts, chapter 2. Now when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a violent wind blowing came from heaven and filled the entire house where they were sitting. And tongues spreading out like a fire appeared to them and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven residing in Jerusalem. When this sound occurred, a crowd gathered and was in confusion, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. All were astounded and greatly confused, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others jeered at the spectators, saying, "They are drunk on new wine." Entonces Pedro, con los once, se puso de pie y dijo a voz en cuello, "Compatriotas, judíos, y todos ustedes que están en Jerusalén, déjenme explicaris lo que sucede. Presten atención a lo que voy a decir. Estos no están borrachos, como suponen ustedes, apenas con las 9 de la mañana. En realidad, lo que pasa es lo que anunció el profeta Joel. And in the last days, it will be, God says, that I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will perform wonders in the sky above and miraculous signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and clouds of smoke, the sun will be changed to darkness." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Imagine with me, if you will, there's a room filled with ordinary people, just like you and I, who are waiting. They're uncertain, but they're holding on to a promise that Jesus has told them that the Holy Spirit, whatever that means for them, is going to come. They're to stay in Jerusalem. Then suddenly, a rushing wind, as if we opened up the doors and all of the hurricane came in. You're supposed to laugh at that. We don't want another hurricane, but you know. It's hard to laugh at hurricanes. Words are heard and understood, although different languages are being spoken by the different people. It isn't what they expected for the festival of Pentecost. That festival has been going on with the Jewish people for many years, called the Festival of Booths. This is a Pentecost that's very, very different. It wasn't just the birth of the church that we would later call the Church of the Christians. It's an unleashing of God's joy and wonder and hope upon the earth through the Holy Spirit. Nothing started with Jesus' birth when it comes to God and human interaction, and nothing ended with his crucifixion. God was there on both ends and still is. What occurred was the possibility for every human being to know and reconcile with God in a way that the world was not worthy of, and in a way that people never expected. While the disciples knew that Jesus had told them to wait there in Jerusalem, the rest of the city didn't know that. Yet one thing is for sure, it seems as if no one had expected the Holy Spirit to enliven them in this way, to come in this way. And this became the day that we think of as Pentecost today. The book of Acts tells us that there was a group that was filled with Spirit. But when they went outside and were still talking in different languages, but they could understand each other, we don't know if the rest of the crowd could. People thought they were drunk, even though it was 9 in the morning. And Have you ever imagined what it might have been like to go outside and hear all these people? Let's say we take all of you and you can understand each other. English, Spanish, French, whatever the words are coming. You understand each other for the first time. And you go out in the streets and blah, 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 blah. Nobody else still understands. I bet I can't find two people here in St. Petersburg that know Russian enough that they would understand, or French enough that they would understand, perhaps. But I think there was joy and amazement that was overflowing. It wasn't alcohol. It was a joy that made no sense, though, to the people. Joy in the face of confusion, uncertainty, opposition. We remember that the Romans still were ruling in Jerusalem, and life was not easy for virtually anyone. And those who had had the spiritual leader, this man by the name of Jesus who came from Nazareth, they had lost him. What joy do they have? But what they truly did not understand is that the presence of God through the Holy Spirit gives joy. Joy enough that it ignites a flame within us, we say, that God is here. You see, that joy did not come because there was an absence of trouble. The trouble of the world, the evils of the world, the chores of the world were still there. But it came from a religious encounter with God. People that were not expecting it were then touched by God on earth. The Holy Spirit, spoken of in the Old Testament and then further explained by Jesus, was now there and would be forever there, so that we today can still call on the Holy Spirit to trust, to confide in, to hopefully lead us. Amen? Amen. Of course they were amazed and perplexed, as Acts 2:12 says. Like any other experience with wonder and amazement, let alone the unexpected has happened from an unexpected God, a God that works in ways that we never usually expect. Today serves as a reminder that God still moves in unexpected, breathtaking ways, and that we should always expect the unexpected. Do you get that? We should expect that God is unexpected and does things that we never expect from God. Amen. There seems to be a cycle to me, if you will. It's a cycle of our lives get normal, right? Day by day. I just keep doing what I'm doing, right? Then there's cynicism, and we're skeptical that life really means a lot, or that there's any value, or maybe even that there is a God. But then something happens with the Holy Spirit. Somebody that has the Holy Spirit in them talks to you. You go hiking, perhaps, in nature. How many of you have gone to Iguazu Falls? Have you seen Iguazu or some of the other falls in your country? Las Cataracas? Yeah? It's beautiful, is it not? Yes. Here, we have little falls. We think they're big, Niagara Falls, but they're little compared with Iguazu. But if you go hiking in nature, in the forests, you see all the trees, you see all the birds, all the beauty of the world, your skepticism goes down, right? And you can believe that there's a creator. There's something more to life. The Holy Spirit shows us this, and it brings it on and makes us so that we circle back and we have wonderment and joy again. I have joy when I go to the mountains. Some people, we live 5-10 minutes from the beach. Do you like the beach? Yeah? Okay. I like the beach. My husband loves the beach. I like the mountains. I like the mountains so much. But both are gifts from God, and they bring sometimes unexpected things. We see the Spirit there, and again, we can breathe. What's more, though, is that we learn from Pentecost that the awe of that day led to worship. The people worshiped, like you and I are worshiping. And worship with the Holy Spirit means transformation. We're a new person, hopefully, when the Holy Spirit comes into us and we worship and sing and are happy together. Amen?
Amen.
Think about a time when maybe you were sad or you were worried. And then You went out in nature. You called on the phone and talked with a friend who seemed to have the right words and could get you out of that bad spirit. Maybe you went to your parents or your grandparents. Maybe you went to someone that's just a friend, and they had the right words for you to see the world in a different view. Sharing how the Holy Spirit stirs our hearts, heals our wounds, and speaks to life in the world. This is the Holy Spirit trying to transform us into better people. Now, I've talked with my people here at the Christ Church many times that our group gets together each week and we plan, what are we going to have for the songs? What are we going to have for the poem or reflective reading? What are we going to have for the preaching? And all the time when we plan this, we're hoping that it makes sense, just like teachers make plans for teaching, right? But then something happens. Life happens. A hurricane last year, this city had 2 hurricanes. 4 families in this group have no homes and are just starting to get back on their feet. Everything was gone. Things that are bad happen in life. Accidents happen and take the life of our friends or family. But then something happens to show us that we can rejuvenate with God's help, that with the Holy Spirit we can listen how to help each other, like Rebecca. And we helped clean out her house. She lost her home. My biggest story that I want to share with you today is one that when I have to have hope, when I need to see God's hand in front of me, but it doesn't seem to be there, I think of this lady. How many of you know what September 11th means to the United States? If I say September 11th or 9/11, you know our towers got hit, the Pentagon got hit with airplanes. I am from New York. Many of my friends' families passed away or were affected with friends or family or neighbors. About 3 years after that, I was working in an office, and a lady that was my coworker, we didn't know each other very well, just first name, you know. We knew what each other did in the office. And sometimes we would have lunch, but she was very shy, and we each had our lone lives. But one day she said to me, let's have lunch. It was the anniversary of September 11th. She said to me, Dawn, I want to tell you how God and the Holy Spirit came in my life. You see, she had seen me wear a cross before, and she knew that I went to church. I wasn't a minister then, I was an attorney. But she talked with me, and she said, Dawn, on September 11th, I was working at the Pentagon. The Pentagon's a building for our armed services in Washington, D.C., for the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, etc. It's a big, big building and campus. It can take you over an hour to walk around it.
Oh my gosh.
She said, Dawn, I always came to my desk, and I did my work, and I even would eat my lunch at my desk. But on September 11th of 2001, something in my heart said, get up, and that man that you need to get those papers to on the other side of the building, your email did not go through. He's not answering the phone. So you walk them over there. She said, I didn't really want to. It's a long walk. And I always felt like I was wasting time if I walked all around and then back. But that day, I thought, I'll take a break. I deserve a break. And I feel like something in me is telling me to take that walk. So she walked all the way around. Took her 15 or 20 minutes to get to the part she wanted to be in. She handed the man the papers and said, I need these back today, so please work on them. Then she said, I went to another friend who had a desk nearby and said, hey, how are you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. She walked on again, and she stopped at a restroom, a bathroom. And while she was in there, all of a sudden, there was a crash. The sound, poof, and the building shook. You probably know the rest of the story, or can guess it. All of her coworkers were in the spot where the plane went in and the fire went up. She was the only person to live. Some people would just say that's a coincidence. My coworker, my friends that lived this, said she learned that it was not a coincidence. It was a God incident. It was the Holy Spirit telling her, get up and walk. Because she had what we call survivor's guilt. She felt guilty that she was the only one living still. You understand? But she got over that and learned to listen to the Holy Spirit nudging her. The Holy Spirit saying, I can use you to do this in the world. You have a talent. Get up and do it for me. Go and love on people and show them your love every day. That is the Holy Spirit. And that's how it transforms us if we listen. Amen? Pentecost should not just be a celebration of a birthday. Lots of times when I was little, we had a birthday cake and we put candles on it and we sang happy birthday to the church. Nothing wrong with that. But I don't think that's the message of Pentecost. That's a secondary joy of Pentecost. Pentecost should show us that the Spirit can empower us in putting new visions in our lives as God wishes. Hope, wonderment are gifts from God through the Spirit to show us a living sign of God's promises and that they're still being fulfilled today. The Spirit says that we should never despair, as Pentecost was not a one-time thing. The Holy Spirit is with us when we call on it anytime. Fire can still come from us. Now, I don't see little fire flames coming from my head on today, do you? Or fire coming out of my mouth in that way. But I think it's a fire that's in your heart. It's in your belly, right? There's a joy that cannot be silenced when God shows that God is here, loving us, caring for us. Let us be a people that wonder about the unexplained, but let it grow our faith in God too. Let us be a people of hope because our Lord and Savior has given us hope, a hope that, like that fire on Pentecost, could not be extinguished. Let us show the world that we know how to love. That is what a Christian is, showing others how to love. Amen. Will you pray with me, please? Come, Holy Spirit, stir our hearts, awaken our joy, renew our wonder, and ignite our hope. Let us be the church that burns brightly with your love in a world that desperately needs your light. Use us. Transform us, Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.